Matthew chapter 2. Got it? The Bible says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east. We need to know that Jesus came to be the Savior of the world, not just of Israel, not just of Jerusalem, not just of Bethlehem, of the world. Now, if you recall, Abraham came from the east. He was in Ur. God said, leave Ur, go to a land I will show you. And he came from the east. Later, Daniel, the prophet Daniel, was taken where? To the east. And so he took with him lessons of God, lessons that we really have a hard time substantiating in the Bible, you know, this lesson in particular of a star being a symbol or a sign, a signal of the Son of God. But these wise men from the east no doubt learned that information through the years coming down from the prophet Daniel. And they had studied it and they knew it. Now they travel from the east to Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Because while they may have known about Daniel's teaching of a star, they didn't know about Micah's teaching of the city where Jesus would be born. You see, they were astronomers. They were not theologians. They studied the sky. They didn't study the Bible. They didn't study the scriptures. And so they knew those things, but they didn't know these things. But they figured if there's anywhere that they'll know, it's got to be Jerusalem. You see, that's where all the priests are. That's where all the Bible teachers, the Bible scholars, the theologians, this is where all the holy people live. And so they went to Jerusalem. Now, how many times do you think that happens where somebody in this area says, if I want to know about God, I want to learn about God, I want to know the truth about eternity, let me go to a church. Because surely they'll know. Think about that. Any place that has the term church in their name, we won't cut down and delineate denominations, but just say, if you want to know about spiritual matters, you would think if I go to a church, I'll get the right answer. Unfortunately, that's not always true. Unfortunately, not all churches teach the Bible. Unfortunately, not all churches major on the Bible. Unfortunately, even if we can get the preacher to say it, sometimes the people in the church don't know it. Guys, we need to be biblical. We need to study the Word of God. We need to know when somebody asks us what we believe and why we believe it, we ought to be able to show them where, how, who. Why do you believe that? Because the Bible says so. Where does it say it? We ought to be able to show them. And if we can't, what hope are we? They went to Jerusalem, to the religious people, to the holy people, because surely they'll have the answer. Surely when we get to Jerusalem, we're going to find a whole bunch of people celebrating. In fact, we better get there early because all these other people must know about this sign. They must know that the Savior of the world has been born. They must know that that's occurring in their lifetime. Surely someone in Jerusalem knows the signs, teaches the signs, and follows the signs. Surely when we get there, there'll be a party. And so they travel. The wise men travel from the east to Jerusalem. They get there. No music. No singing. No dancing. No feast. Wow. Wonder why nobody here is celebrating the birth of the Savior. I'd hate to think that someone walk in this church on a Sunday before Christmas and not find God's people celebrating the birth of the Savior. I don't want to argue with you whether he was born in the spring. This is when we celebrate it. And so we ought to celebrate it. And we ought to be happy and we ought to have hope and peace and joy and love. And we ought to be full with joy. We ought to be talking about Jesus and celebrating Jesus. If we come in the church and find nobody cares, nobody knows, nobody's looking for the signs, what a disappointment. What a disappointment to come to God's house and not find God's people excited about His work. No one knew. No one celebrated. No one had hope or anticipation. Imagine the priests get up and they talk about the Messiah's coming. The hope for Jerusalem. The hope for Israel. And the sign's right there. And they don't see it. Guys, I want you to understand something. When I preach to you that the Lord's coming back, that we're near the final days, I'm seeing the signs. I'm telling you, it's there. I'm telling you, we're close. You say, well, Pastor, they've been saying that for thousands of years. You know, the Bible even said that y'all would say that. I mean, that's how smart God is. He already said there's going to be people second-guessing you. I'm disappointed he hadn't come yet, but he's got a calendar. He's got a date set. All I'm telling you to do is be looking for it, be anticipating it, because wouldn't it be a shame if he came back and didn't find us singing and celebrating and watching and hoping, anticipating? Oh, we better be ready. Better be. And I'm not talking about, guys, the political season is not what convinced me the Lord's coming back. We've been talking about this before this season ever came around. So you say, oh, you're just mad. No, I'm telling you, the signs are there. Y'all paying attention to what's going on in the East and the agreements with Israel? You paying attention? The signs. But nobody in Jerusalem knew the signs. They weren't studying. They didn't have any hope for it. You see, the problem is religion had become a business for some. Job. Get up and go to work. That's my job. What do you do? I'm a priest. What do you do? Teach the Bible. Oh, how's that? Well, it's my job. I just do it because of my job. And to others, guess what? So to some, the Scriptures were a job, and to some, the Scriptures were irrelevant. And there are a lot of people today who think they think this doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, this book matters. Every page matters. Every word matters. And it should matter to you. But when they came to find somebody who knew the answers, even those who had the answers only had them in a mental capacity, not in a spiritual capacity. How many of you can tell me how to get saved? You don't have to tell me right now, but just nod your head. Can you tell me how to get saved? How can I get to heaven? Can you tell me that? Now, is that just a mental, you just know how, or have you done it? You say, well, you know, you're a sinner, and the Bible says all of sin and come short of the glory of God, and the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. By one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, so death passed upon all men, and that all have sinned. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Okay, you know it in your mind, but do you know it in your heart? Have you prayed and said, God, I am a sinner, and I know Jesus died on that cross for me, and I ask you to forgive my sins? Have you prayed and ask God to forgive your sins? That's the difference between knowing it and knowing it. That's the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. And these people in Jerusalem had head knowledge, but no heart knowledge. You see, it's one thing to know what the Scripture says. It's another thing to live it. It's one thing to know what the Bible teaches, and it's another thing to apply it to our daily lives. Head knowledge, heart knowledge. Oh, the wise men came, and they found no celebration. They went to the king and they asked the king in verse 2, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Excuse me. Well, I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? That the one born king of the Jews would probably be related to the king. And so verse 3 says it troubled Herod. You see, they were just, they just figured that's where it would be. They didn't know that it would be some poor girl from Nazareth and her carpenter husband who had traveled to Bethlehem. They didn't know that, did they? They just went to the king. And so the king, verse 4, gathered the chief priests, the scribes, of the people together, and he demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said, we know where. Because Micah says he'll be born in Bethlehem. Verse 6, thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not least among the princes of Judah? Out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. They knew that was speaking of the Messiah. And yet they weren't watching Bethlehem to see if there was anything happening there. They weren't anticipating it. How many of you ever, when you're driving and you see the clouds and you just look in the clouds and say, even so, come Lord Jesus. I mean, do we not do that? Is that too immature and archaic and backward? Are we looking? We know the sign. We know the Bible says he's going to come in the clouds. We hear the trumpet. Be called up together, be with him. So shall we ever be with him? Is that what the Bible says? Signs are there. Are we looking for the signs? So Herod in verse 7 called the wise men and he schemed with them because he wanted them to do the dirty work and tell him, where is this one born king of the Jews? Find him. And when you find him, bring me word again because I want to come worship him. Look at verse 7. He inquired of when the star appeared. In verse 8, the last phrase, that I may come and worship him also. Well, hey, king, if you're really that interested, why are you waiting here? Come go with us. I mean, I know that we've traveled all the way from the east to get to here, but now we're only talking about a little distance, maybe 70 miles. I mean, I know it's a long walk, but you got probably carriages and chariots and horses and camels, and surely we could get there quicker if you'd go with us. We have armed security. And we could come together and we could find the king. But see, Herod didn't want to do the dirty work. He wanted somebody else to go first. You ever send in the invitation and the song's playing and you need to walk the aisle? You know you need to get saved, or you know it's time to get right with God, but you don't want to go first. You want somebody else to go first. Anybody else ever done that? Well, Lord, I'm going to go down that aisle and I'm going to get saved, but somebody else got to go first. I actually had a guy one time. I was preaching revival, and Brother Ken, great guy, loved the guy. And he's in heaven now. But he walked the aisle, and when he got there, of course, you know, up there, I think, boy, he's going to get right with God. He said, I just come up here in case somebody wanted somebody to go first. That was the funniest thing to me. No, evidently, nobody was praying because nobody else came. Great guy, Brother Ken. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. The king should have said, hey, let's go. I want to go too. But that's not really what he had in mind. He was scared. He was intimidated. He was threatened. And so he says, bring me word again so I can go and worship him also. The wise men come, verse 10. They saw the star. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy when they were come into the house. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. So I said last week, he may have been 2 years old at that time. The difference is, number one, he's not in the inn. He's in the house. And he's not a baby. He's a young child. How much older? Is he one? Is he two? I don't know. The reason that I referenced the year two, we'll find out here in just a second. But by the time they got to him, it was beyond the nativity. It was beyond the first night. And they get there and they celebrate. And they give them the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Because they followed the sign of the star. They paid attention to the sign. Don't ignore the signs. When the Lord starts dealing with you, that it's time for you to get right, it's time for you to get your sins washed away by praying and asking God's forgiveness. Don't push it off. When you feel that grumble in your conscience and your soul because you know you're doing wrong, pay attention to the signs. God is trying to tell you something. They found the young child. God warned them in verse number 12, in a dream, don't return to Herod. Verses 13 through 15, God warns Joseph in a dream to take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. By the way, that fulfilled Scripture. The Bible says in verse 15, it fulfilled the word spoken by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And then Herod, verse 16, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under. According to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Some people are so full of fear and hate that they become indiscriminate in their bitterness. Hurt people hurt people. We need to get to work on our wounds before we bleed on people that didn't cut us. Guys, not everybody's your enemy. There may be some people that hurt you, and I get it. But there are people who will be nice and kind and loving and helpful and generous and not take advantage of your friendship. So if you've been hurt, I'm sorry. But don't hate everybody because of that. Don't be bitter toward everybody because of that. Find a way to love. Find a way to heal. Find a way to forgive. Herod was afraid. And because he was afraid, he hurt many thousands of families out of fear. You know, as we look at this, these wise men, we learn a couple of things. Number one, we need to know the Scriptures. They studied the signs, but they didn't know the Scriptures. They only had half the story. Don't come out with half the story. Read the book. Understand the book and pay attention to the signs. Jesus told us that expressly. To watch the signs. Not to ask for a sign, but to pay attention to the signs. Know the Scripture and pay attention to the signs. Because if we're paying attention to the signs, the wise men knew the signs said he was coming to be the Savior. And we're watching the signs because when he comes back, he's coming to take us home. The signs are important to us. The Scriptures are important to us. Wise men still seek him. And I know that that's a cliche, but they do. This time of year, we talk about his coming. I want you to understand something. He came as a baby in Bethlehem, but in Genesis 1, verse 1, he was already there. Before he formed the foundations of the earth, this whole plan was already laid out. He came to be the Savior. He was already God. And he's coming back to redeem us and take us home. Let's stand. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know that you're going to heaven, I want to invite you to come down this aisle and take me by the hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. But if you do know him, or if you don't want to come down the aisle, you know you can talk to God from where you are. Not even out loud, just from your heart to God's heart. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. And I ask you to forgive my sins. Through Jesus Christ, I put my faith in you and I give my life to you and ask you to live through me. Would you pray and let God live through you, save your soul, change your life? Maybe you're already saved, but you need to get baptized. Now's the time. Say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I'm ready to bury my past in the waters of baptism, to be risen, to walk in newness of life. This is your opportunity. What's God laid on your heart this morning? Do this. Don't wait for somebody else to come down the aisle. If you need to come, now's the time. Be wise. Be wise. All right. All hearts and minds clear. Be back tonight at 6, Wednesday night at 7. And pray for one another. There's so many prayer needs right now. And I know they'd appreciate you remembering them in prayer. Just a long list. Pray for everybody on our prayer list. And add some to it if you got them. All right? All right. Anything else? Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And then Merry Christmas to all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask if you would. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?